Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And I'm so glad to be back with Mediocrity Podcast. It's been a few weeks. This is episode 28 of Mediocrity, where the show is just okay. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics. Thanks for sticking with us through our hiatus. We were busy doing things, you know, other than talking about our favorite things in the world. I'm joined by Jonathan Atterbury. You are wearing your Superman Clark Kent glasses.
And a Star Wars shirt. What's up, man? How you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. How about you? Did you go to Disney World recently? Or Disneyland?
Disneyland. Yeah, I went to Disneyland. And we've got season passes now, so we try to go whenever, as much as possible.
Where did you make sweet love anywhere?
No, they frown upon that.
Well,
I'm trying to keep my season pass.
Oh, come on. You got to push the bounds a little bit, right?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just how's your father on Pirates of the Caribbean? You know what I mean?
Okay, good, good. As long as we're getting handsies here, it's going to be good.
And then, I believe the saying is dead men tell no tales.
Oh, my exactly. Goodness. There he is. And speaking of dead men tell no tales. Jeremy Magert's here with us. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing all right. I like your Spider-Man shirt.
Thank you.
You're looking good. Looking good. You recently had a booth at the recent Dallas Comic Show in Irving, Texas. How'd that go? Did you have a good time? Did you get to meet or see anybody you haven't seen in a while there?
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of fun. Got to make some new friends, and then there's a couple artists that I got to see, and we bought some original art, which was awesome, which is probably just about the most fun thing.
Which art did you buy?
The group. I bought a page. There's an artist named Cully Hamner. He's the guy that co-created the comic Red that they made into a movie.
Yeah.
And he did a series called The Blue Beetle where he kind of helped redesign the character, and I bought a page from that series. And then Josie and I got a sketch from an artist named Phil Jimenez. And she got an awesome Princess Leia sketch.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can share that with us social media people. And as always, you can find Mediocrity on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, BoomstickComics.com, and like us, subscribe to us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, as well as Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Magert, myself. I'm glad you had a good time at the Dallas Comic Show. There's another Dallas comic book show coming up, I think in May, as well as Frightmare in May. So there's just a lot of stuff going on in the Dallas area. And hopefully, Mr. Atterbury, since he lives on the West Coast now, I'll be able to get him some media passes to go check out some cons out there if he would so like. But as you know, probably Atterbury doesn't like comic cons or anything fun like that, right?
I don't like fun things, no. I hate them.
I hate them. All right. Well, let's jump into this episode.
Well, now wait a second. There's something else that happened with Jeremy recently. That was kind of a big deal, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
A little bit.
Oh yeah. How could we forget this? This has been a long time in the making.
I don't think that's a we that forgot that. I think that was a you that forgot
me.
That.
Damn it.
John remembered, and I clearly remember.
For the most part.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, what happened? What did you do recently? That's kind of a big deal.
I got engaged.
And how did she propose?
Willingly.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. Well, congratulations to you two. I am looking forward to your long courtship of marriage. That will
hopefully.
Are you all going to get married in the Millennium Falcon? That plane on Star Wars?
No, they're getting married at Taco Bell, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, in Vegas. Taco Bell in Vegas.
Taco Bell sure. in Vegas? What?
I sent Jeremy a link on Facebook because I saw this thing announcing that Taco Bell is now offering a wedding package. I think it's $600, and it comes with food and an officiant and even a Mr. and Mrs. Taco Bell shirt.
That is
like, and the shirts are like triple XL, so I'm sure
cool. That's awesome. And I can't imagine, Jeremy, what your brother Chris is gonna think, since his favorite place is Taco Bueno.
It'll be hard for him, but
it will.
You know.
It will. Well, I'm excited for you.
Ultimately,
too.
As long as they have tacos, Chris is okay.
He'll struggle, but he'll be okay.
I'm very, very excited for you too. So let's. We love Jeremy. We love Josie. We're so happy for you. I hope we can mix all your favorite things into your wedding, such as Superman and Batman and Star Wars and, you know, a little bit of the old In Out, right?
Sure.
I call Prima Nocta.
With Jeremy.
With Jeremy, yes.
That was a good save.
That was good stuff. So let's jump right in. Let's talk about John Wick, John Wick 2, the sequel. Have we seen this movie yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right, good. John Wick 2. So the first John Wick basically had Keanu Reeves do what everybody would do if somebody came and killed their dog. He went and killed everybody, literally. It was such a good return to awesome action movies and everything. And then John Wick 2 comes out, and goddamn, it was just so amazing, so much fun. They really did it this time. I mean, they did it last time, but they got that essence in of the first one and just upped it. What do you think?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, so I got to say, when I first heard about John Wick, I didn't give a shit. When I first heard, okay, another Keanu Reeves movie, you know, I just didn't care at all. And then I watched it and my head was just, my mind was blown. I can't even believe how good this fucking movie is. And so I was super excited about the second one, and it was absolutely everything that I wanted it to be. It was pretty perfect.
Yeah, no, I loved it. Jeremy, what'd you think?
I loved it. I had a great time. I loved all the kind of world building where you really got to spend. It was a little bit, to me, actually maybe less action than the first one, where you got a little more story and you got to see the characters a little more and, you know, find that kind of a little bit more like the world that John Wick is in. And I thought that was really cool. I liked the way they did a lot of that.
No,
that was
awesome. I like that too. And I love seeing John Wick like fight a sumo wrestler or like a woman assassin or like, you know, it was really cool. It like, that was badass, and I keep took out that.
Yeah,
that was.
I officially got to give Keanu Reeves. I'm going to take it away from Heath Ledger, and I'm going to give Keanu Reeves a best kill with a pencil.
Yes. Yeah, because we agreed. Heard about that in the first movie, and we still haven't seen that, but we did see a version of that, you know, in this one, which was so cool.
And I was really impressed by Ruby Rose in that movie. I think she did a great job.
Yeah, she was cool. She didn't say anything.
Yeah, but I mean, like, just in the performance that she did deliver, it was perfect for what she was trying to get across. I think.
Was a badass. And to add to that, Common, I believed he was that badass.
Oh yeah, Common. But I always like Common. Common's always a lot of fun.
Like Common too, but I've never seen him in a role that's physically active.
Yeah. Now I know. So Keanu Reeves does most of his own stunts, but it looked like Common was doing his stunts too in that movie. What do you guys think about that?
It looked like it. I think so.
Yeah. It looked damn good. And like
they didn't shy away from showing characters' faces and stuff.
Yeah, like that scene where they were both rolling down the fucking stairs. I was just like, oh god, that just made me hurt so bad.
That scene made me laugh though, because one minute they're like fighting on a street with cars. And then they roll down the stairs, and at the bottom of the stairs, they're all of a sudden on the rooftop of a building. Then they crash through a window that's not even there, and they're back in the hotel.
Yeah.
Which I was like, there was a couple moments like that where I'm like, wait, how, what? you went from the street down the stairs, and now you're on top of a building, and there's no window because you're just on a roof. And you crash through a window and you're somehow back in the hotel.
Hey, man, those ancient Roman architects were very interesting with what they did.
Yeah, right?
And Keanu Reeves is 52 years old. That dude gets around.
That doesn't, I mean, not even, I'm pretty sure he's a vampire. I'm pretty sure he's an immortal of some sort because it makes no sense.
Yeah, he's a badass, like to move around like that. And I loved how they started the movie out with the Russians again. And it was just like, in the first 3 minutes, I think he kills like six people.
I can't even, I think I saw some clickbait ad saying like, oh, we did a kill count for how many people he killed in the movie, and I didn't click on it, but I can't even imagine. Any guesses as to how many people he must have offed in that movie?
There's actually a couple websites out there that are dedicated to kill counts in movies by movie as a whole or by characters, and I think in the first movie he killed 71 people, and in this one it's like it's 100 and something. I'm trying to remember. It's a lot. The dude
that
just
is a lot.
Yeah. It's like, but that's one person.
Just walking down, just boom, 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 boom. And like, oh yeah, I just killed eight people in the span of 5 seconds.
And were y'all on the edge of your seat when Lawrence Fishburne and Keanu Reeves finally had their Neo Morpheus moment? And were you hoping, like, are they going to mention the Matrix in any sort of wink?
Yeah,
nod?
I was really hoping they'd throw some kind of bone out there, but they didn't. There's nothing I caught anyways.
There wasn't anything I caught. The closest I figured you could construe to a Matrix thing was when he's fighting the two guys on the subway platform. That was the closest I thought that could be construed as a nod to The Matrix.
Yeah, there was that, and I think there was dialogue in Keanu and Lawrence Fishburne where it said, I haven't seen you in a long time. And I was like, maybe that was it. I don't know, but it would have been great to see like a red pill or a blue pill or something.
I was just sad we didn't get to see Lawrence Fishburne fighting anybody because that would have been the only way to make that movie better. Because
he's so good.
He is, and I was thinking about this. I was talking to Lauren about it after the movie, and I was saying I can only imagine that whoever did the fight choreography for The Matrix must have just done such a great job, because my two favorite people to watch in fight scenes nowadays are Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne. They just they did it right, because those guys are fucking amazing to see them fighting on screen. Mm-hmm. And you know, before The Matrix, neither one of them really, nobody gave a shit about them as action stars so much. It wasn't like you watch Speed and you're like, oh my god, Keanu Reeves is so awesome as an action star. And but after The Matrix, both of them are just, nobody fights cooler than they do, man.
I agree, man. They definitely did it. And, you know, at the end of John Wick 2, they really set it up for a ton of future sequels with probably Lawrence Fishburne. Because Lawrence Fishburne in John Wick 2 does not like John Wick, Keanu Reeves' character, really. He just, like, kind of, like, helps him at some point. You know, like, just he feels an obligation, maybe.
Right.
But I think they might allude to something, because I know they've already slated a third movie and they're starting a TV series. So we'll see how it happens.
I'm excited. Give me more.
Give me more.
I'm ready.
Oh, wait, I have to mention a friend of mine, Scott Jackson, who lives in Dallas, who has seen John Wick 2 six times already.
That's so impressive.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Yeah, he's like, he loves, it's like his favorite thing in the world. It's really funny. So, Scott Jackson, you're keeping that movie alive. let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about Logan, since y'all haven't seen it yet, but I did see Logan. I saw it last week in conjunction with the Berlin Film Festival. Logan, of course, is Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, and it might be the best superhero movie ever made. It is just a damn fine movie, no matter if it's a superhero movie, and it is just, this is what we've always wanted and always needed with this character. They got
now,
it right.
I want to also point out to the listeners that this is not the first time we've had this conversation, the three of us, because moments after Brian saw it, he called us three-way, Jeremy, myself, just to tell us, oh my god, it was perfect.
I did, because I know these guys. I literally did. On the way home at night driving, I was like, I've got to call these two, because I know I have to get all of this energy out that I just saw this movie. So I'm glad y'all answered and we had a three-way.
Well, I saw my phone ring and I was like, Kluger's calling me. Something is either really awesome or something really bad has happened.
why the fuck are you calling me?
So late. What's going on? So yeah, Logan is the movie we want and what we needed in this character. And it is. And don't get me wrong, you probably don't want to take the little kids to this because it is a hard R. Like, there's nudity, there's language, and there's all sorts of ultra violence with blood and guts.
So excited. I'm so happy about all of that.
So, and I don't want to give anything else away because I can't wait for you two to see it. And then we'll have a big, long discussion about it. But yeah, you're going to like it. You're going to love it. I'll say one thing of who's in it, who I didn't expect to be in it. The Prince of Soul Glow, Eric LaSalle's in the movie.
Really?
Yes. When I saw his name in the opening credits, I was like, Prince of Soul Glow. And he's amazing in it. He's really good. So y'all will like it. I can't wait. But let's move on. Let's talk about Kevin Smith lately. Kevin Smith lately has had a very interesting, like, several months or to a year. He put out Tusk. He put out Yoga Hosiers.
Which was... Have you guys watched that movie?
Yes, I've watched Yoga Hosiers. Yes, I have.
Fuck that movie. That is a awful movie.
It is. I mean, it's not great.
It's not, okay. So I was not expecting to like Tusk. I'll tell you that right now, because I mean, the last few movies that Kevin Smith's put out, I have not been a fan of. But I wasn't expecting to like Tusk, but I actually really enjoyed Tusk.
Yeah, me too.
And then I watched Yoga Hosers, and I was just like slogging through it the whole way, man. That was a chore to finish that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little better here and there, but it's not as. I mean, Kevin Smith has come to the point where, like, he just makes movies that he wants to make. He doesn't give a shit about anybody else.
I feel like this wasn't even a movie that Kevin Smith wanted to make. I feel like this was literally just a vehicle for his daughter and his daughter's friend.
Well, exactly. You know? Because he loves his family. He gets to make movies. Yeah, he can do it.
And I get that. But holy shit, Johnny Depp's daughter should not be on camera. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's a beautiful young woman, but she has zero charisma.
See, I've heard the opposite of that from people, that they actually really liked her.
I thought that she was terrible. I thought that Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn, I actually thought that she, while a terrible actress, she had a lot of natural charisma.
All right.
I think that because, you know, obviously both her and Johnny Depp's daughter, they're both new actresses. So I'm not expecting them to come out of the gate offering an incredible performance.
Right.
So there's a lot of room there. But I think that you either have charisma or you don't. And Kevin Smith's daughter, she had a lot of charisma. And even though the acting needs improvement, I believe that with time, it can get better.
Right.
Whereas Johnny Depp's daughter, I was just like, holy God, get this girl out of my screen.
Well, you can watch Yoga Hosiers on Netflix if you're so interested, and Tusk. But after those movies came out, Kevin Smith was working on a Clerks 3 film and a Mallrats TV series, which supposedly he updated his status a week or so ago and said that those are on the back burner, or not even on the back burner, those are not happening. So in the meantime, he's been directing episodes of Supergirl and stuff for DC, and now he said he is hard at work on the script and hoping to film Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back Part 2. And also, he's now going to be show running and directing a spinoff of Spawn called Sam and Twitch, which I hope that works out, because, I mean, if anybody's into comics and movies, it's Kevin Smith. So, Jeremy, what do you think about this? Tell our listeners what Sam and Twitch are in the Spawn universe.
Sam and Twitch, so a lot of the Spawn story takes place in the kind of back alleys of New York, where Spawn kind of lives, and he kind of stays like amongst like a lot of homeless people. And there are murders that revolve either are directly by Spawn or revolve around him. And Sam and Twitch are two detectives that kind of get pulled into Spawn's world through kind of through investigating crimes, like just in that area.
Okay. So they're going to make a TV show, which seems like it sounds like a good TV show that mm-hmm. could go on for a while, like a police detective procedural, but with a supernatural element and a comic book element. Do you think Kevin Smith is the right one for this?
Yeah, I think he'll do a great job.
All right.
You know, the characters Sam and Twitch, you know, I think there's a little there's a little probably Harvey Bullock, Jim Gordon, you know, from the comics influence on those characters. And so there's a lot for him to work with, both story wise, and then, you know, his sense of humor and the way he writes jokes, I think, will fit pretty well in the show.
Okay, cool. All right, yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I like Kevin Smith a lot. I think he's a great writer. I think he's, you know, he does things that nobody else is doing, and I'd like to see him do more. So, like, I mean, I always want to see Jay and Silent Bob things, just because I love those characters. They're so much fun. But I'm glad he's branching out, and I'm glad he's getting to, like, do, you know, comic book stuff, like big things like Supergirl and now Sam and Twitch thing, which is cool. Are you a big fan of Kevin Smith other than Yoga Hosiers, John, Jonathan?
I'm a big fan of his first, like, four movies.
Okay. So you didn't like Jersey Girl or Red State or Cop Out or anything like that?
Correct. Yeah, okay. Those were dog shit, in my opinion. I love, of course, I love Clerks. I love
Mallrats,
Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And Clerks, I love 2. All of those. Clerks 2, I did not like either.
Well, damn, I like Clerks 2, man.
I'd say everything movie. After Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, I will avoid like the plague for the most part.
Minus Tusk.
Tusk was enjoyable. Now, I don't know if that's a movie I'd rewatch much, but it was surprisingly enjoyable.
So do you think with this resurgence of like the Spawn universe, Sam and Twitch, and if it gets, you know, really good ratings, do you think there will be a future Spawn revamp or sequel with Michael J. White?
You asking me? I have no idea.
Oh, Jeremy, what do you think?
Oh, he's already got a movie script written.
Oh, okay, for Spawn?
Yep, he's talking to theaters, and Spawn is going to be less – he'll be more like a – he refers to him kind of as like a boogeyman monster in the shadows rather than like running around the screen with the big red cape superhero style. It'll be like a somewhat kind of like a Spawn, like R-rated horror type of thing.
Okay, I like that. And you, when you say he has – are you talking about Michael J. White or are you talking about Kevin Smith?
I'm talking about Todd McFarlane.
Oh, Todd McFarlane. So Todd McFarlane is, like, in on it then. That's yes, great. That's great.
Yeah, so, like, Todd McFarlane is, I guess, going to hammer out the script with, I guess, with Kevin Smith a little bit on the show, but then he already has the movie script completed.
Right. All right, and if, for those of you that don't know, Todd McFarlane is the original creator of Spawn. So that's good news.
Yeah.
That's very good news. Has there been a – I'm trying to think, besides Walking Dead, what other movie – or Spawn, you know, in recent years has been made into a movie or a TV show from Image, really, besides Walking
Dead.
I'm trying to think.
Robert Kirkman's got another one. It's called like it's like a virus show or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that. Okay. All right.
He's got that. There have been a few others that nothing's jumping to mind. There's a comic called Witches.
Okay.
That I think was optioned for a TV show that I think is in development right now.
Yeah.
What about the Preacher show? Is that Image or
no? That's Vertigo. Vertigo. That's like DC. An offshoot of DC. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's. I'm still glad that's on. That's happening. So.
I kind of wish Kevin Smith would do. Would take the Mallrats TV show and just crowdfund it, and just put it on like that. That new like Comic-Con HQ network, whatever it is, where Con Man is on and Mark Hamill's Pop Culture Quest show. I think he should do that.
Dude, I bet you anything. I can't. Well, he said that people dropped out of Netflix, people dropped out of the Mallrats show that were a big part of it, so he couldn't do it. However, I would imagine.
Was that the Mallrats or was that the Clerks sequel?
I thought it was Mallrats, but I could be wrong because I think Shannon Doherty's like not feeling well at all, so I feel like I think she's like on her way out.
So I just remember him saying something about like that big names had dropped out of the Clerks thing, but I was like, "What big names Clerks, do you really have in Clerks?"
Well, if you don't have Randall or Dante, then you can't do Clerks.
I was like, Rosario Dawson is like the only famous person in those movies.
Yeah,
there you go. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about y'all brought up. Did y'all bring up some video games recently? Because there's a video. What video games are coming out or that are y'all excited for playing?
Mass Effect.
Just, yeah, Mass Effect, Mass Effect, Mass Effect.
Nothing and matters.
Mass Effect. Nothing matters. Nothing really matters. When is Mass Effect? When is that? What is that? When is that coming out?
We talked all about Mass Effect in a previous episode. Yeah, but
give us a recap.
Multiple episodes.
It's coming out in like March 7th or something like that. It's okay. not that far from now. Maybe the 14th. I forget exactly what it is. But yeah, so it's coming out around then, and it's going to be a gigantic, sprawling, galactic-style RPG, sci-fi.
So does that mean we're all three getting this and get to play together?
I'm sure as shit going to be getting it, and I know Jeremy will too, and you should as well, Brian, because there is a multiplayer feature, so we could all play it together like that.
Okay, all right.
But, I mean, it's just gonna be so cool. I can't wait. There's another game that I played the beta for that just came out. It's called For Honor. Have you guys heard about this game?
No, I have not.
It is a fighting game, but it's not set up like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, one of those types of games. It's Vikings versus Knights versus Samurai, and you're basically, it's just a sword fighting mechanic that you're working with. So it's a very steep learning curve, but you get to customize your Viking or your ninja or whatever it is that you've got. And you're just fighting with these other guys one-on-one or sometimes two versus two. It's pretty fun.
All right. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I'm still playing Overwatch. That's pretty much it. Damn it. I want to get Mass Effect now. It just sounds awesome.
You have to. It's going to be great.
March 21st.
March 21st. Okay. All right. So you get Logan and Mass Effect in the same month.
Yeah. It's exciting.
And nothing will be get done at all.
Everything's on hold.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to say there were a couple movies that I recently watched as of just this weekend that I was blown away by how much I enjoyed them.
Which were?
I watched The Arrival.
Not The Arrival, just Arrival.
I'm sorry, yeah, just Arrival.
Not to be confused with Charlie Sheen's movie.
Right. Yeah, so this was just Arrival with Amy Adams and Hawkeye and Jeremy Renner. And have you seen this one, Kluger?
Oh, God, yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
So the director of that movie is Denis Villeneuve. He directed Enemy and Prisoners. He's an excellent director. And this is a...
Didn't he do Sicario too? Or
yes, he did Sicario. And this is an alien invasion film that does not level cityscapes or knock down buildings or have sky buttholes. This is like...
Yeah.
This is an emotional, just excellent, beautiful film.
Way more, less Independence Day, more Contact.
Yes, but I mean it's awesome, and it is nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars. And out of all the Oscar or movies that are nominated for Best Picture at Oscars, I believe Arrival should win.
That was one of the best movies I've seen in years, man. That was such a good movie, and ever since I finished that movie, I've been trying to figure it out still.
Well, we won't ruin it for Jeremy, but yeah,
we won't go into the plot, but it is one of those movies that's going to make you think in new ways, and I loved that.
Man, it's good stuff. What other one did you see?
The second one I watched that I thought was really excellent was a Netflix movie, I Am Not a Serial Killer.
Oh, okay. How was that?
It was awesome. Now, this one had Doc Brown in it, and I think he's the only big name actor that I recognized in that film, but it was really good. Kind of a fun genre-bending horror thriller-type movie with a little bit of 80s teen movie almost feel to it. Yeah. So it's just an interesting combination of a few different types of feel, but it was really good. And I was thoroughly impressed by it.
And you can find that on Netflix. That sounds good. I've got I will be reviewing very shortly the Blu-ray release of The Gate from the 80s about the young kids who play a rock record and unleash the gates of hell, which is always fun. And I got Doctor Strange on Blu-ray, so there will be a review of that very soon too. So
awesome.
Very excited for those. But we are recording today. We usually record later on in the week, but we're recording on Monday today. And it is President's Day, so pretty much federal people have off. And since it's President's Day, and we like movies... let's go. Let's talk about some of the best presidents in movies and TV shows that we want to be our president. So I'll start with you, Atterbury. What do you think?
There are only two that matter.
Okay, there's only two that matters. There's only two presidents that matter. Okay.
There are only two that matter, and I'm going to go ahead and say Harrison Ford in Air Force One.
President yep. James Marshall. Because
and Kevin Kline in Dave.
Dave Kovic, both from a 90s. So Harrison Ford, we all like him because he's one of the best presidents because not only – is he in like a crazy situation on Air Force One flying through the whole movie taken over by terrorists? But he like kicks ass.
That's yes, exactly.
He kicks ass.
I would vote for Harrison Ford.
And in Dave, if you haven't seen the movie Dave with Kevin Kline, it's such a weird premise where Dave is basically a regular guy but is a doppelganger for the president. The president like has a stroke and can't go on. Instead of telling the world that he's pretty much gone, they hire Dave – this regular guy to fill in for him, and he just becomes like an awesome president. Like he's just like the working people's man, just amazing.
Yeah, and I had never seen this movie until Jeremy and I were living together. And Jeremy, whenever he would take a shower, he would sing the song that Dave sings. that was how I became familiar with Dave. How does the song go, Jeremy?
I don't remember the lyrics. I need to actually rewatch it now.
It was something along the lines of "Hail to the Chief because he smells so nice and clean," or something along those lines.
He keeps himself so clean and something. I don't remember the lyrics.
So Jeremy, when nice and clean, would walk around the house singing that song, and I would always be like, "What are you singing? What's that from?" And he said, "Oh, it's from Dave." And I had never seen it, so we watched it, and it's pretty fantastic.
Good. All right, those are damn good choices. I would have any of those people as my president. All right, Jeremy.
Oh, now also I almost forgot one that's important.
Okay,
Bill Pullman in Independence Day.
There you go, Thomas J. Whitmore, who played the president pretty much twice, 1996 and this past year, 2016. And he gave that excellent speech, and he actually got in the fighter jet and just
exactly. Yeah. He was leading the troops. He was Alexander the Great, but an American president, and he was a bad motherfucker.
Yes, he was, man. He is awesome. All right, so those are good three ones. Jeremy, what do you think?
Well, my first and really only one is the Harrison Ford Air Force One.
That's the only one?
That's the only one you need. But I'll give honorable mention to Abraham Lincoln, the vampire hunter.
So not the Daniel Day-Lewis Abraham Lincoln.
No.
But the vampire fighting one.
Going with the real hero.
The real hero. Okay. That's pretty funny. All right. So you got those. Who do I have? Who do I want? Which ones? Well, let's go. This is a TV show, but President Palmer from 24. You remember him?
Yes.
President David Palmer, Dennis Haysbert in 24. He was an awesome president, man. Like, he was the guy that you really wanted. I remember when he was in a parking lot and some thugs came up with him and tried to hit him with a bat, and he just like stuck out his hand and oh, man, that was so good. Also, let's talk about what about Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks?
While hilarious, wow. Not the president that I would want.
Not the president you would want. Oh, so good. What about President Francis Underwood, Kevin Spacey from House of Cards?
Now, that is a fantastic show and a fantastic acting job. But once again, not the president that I would want.
A scary.
Kind of a terrifying dude.
Yeah, a scary president, for sure. I also really like Julia Louis-Dreyfus in Veep on HBO, President Selina Meyer.
Yeah, it's also hilarious. What was the guy, the actor that played the president in The Fifth Element?
Oh, Tiny Zeus Lister. Tiny absolutely. Zeus. He was so awesome. He was definitely a great president who I would definitely vote for. He was a badass. President Lindbergh was his name. Oh, so good. Oh, my God. What else? What other good ones are there? I'm trying to think. Oh, what, isn't there Presidents in, like, Olympus Has Fallen or anything like that? Any of those crazy movies, action movies?
Well, yeah, there's
Aaron Eckhart or something.
Yeah, but we also
cannot
forget.
Go ahead.
We cannot forget President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho from
Idiocracy.
As portrayed by the immortal Terry Crews.
Absolutely. And that, how true is that today? My goodness. Absolutely. 100 billion%. Also, Morgan Freeman from Deep Impact. That was a good president.
Yeah.
Right?
You had Michael Douglas and the American President.
Oh, that's a great movie because he was like the single guy. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good one. We also had Kevin Costner in JFK. Kevin Costner was pretty awesome. That was a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Jamie Foxx played President James Sawyer in White House Down. I can't believe Jamie Foxx played the president. Or Terry Crews, really, but that's still amazing.
Has Bruce Willis not played the president yet, ever?
No, he protects the president.
That needs to happen. I think Bruce Willis needs to be the president. I think we could get an Air Force One, two,
yeah,
with Bruce Willis as the president, and I would buy the shit out of that. I would watch the shit out of that movie.
Definitely.
Just John McClane after he became president of the United States.
And then he has to, like, go on a mission again.
Yes, exactly. You know, just defending the plane. That's all. Just keep him on the plane.
That's a good one. Oh, what about Jed Bartlett, the West Wing, Martin Sheen?
Martin Sheen was awesome in that movie, or that TV show. Yeah,
that was like, that's a big one.
That is a big one.
What's it called? Oh, Peter Sellers in Dr. Strangelove from Stanley Kubrick.
I've never seen that movie.
I think his name was like, God, I look this up. President Merkin Muffley. What's this president's name in Dr. Strangelove? What about, remember the movie Love Actually? What about, Hugh Grant for the minister, or Billy Bob Thornton as the
I was going to say West. Billy Bob Thornton as the president.
That was great. That was.
You also have Linda Carter in the new season of Supergirl.
Oh, is she the
playing
president?
The president?
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's good. So, okay, so with all these presidents and President's Day, who do you want to see play the president of the United States who has never played the president of the United States before?
Bruce Willis, I already said it.
Okay, Bruce Willis. Jeremy?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Seth Rogen.
That would be awesome. I think Chris Rock played like a president of some sort in some movie. I'm trying to remember which one it was.
He did. That's right.
And that seems like that could be kind of like a similar situation.
What about if we had another Dwayne and Kevin movie where Dwayne Johnson is the president of the United States and Kevin Hart's the vice president?
Or Kevin Hart's the bodyguard, the Secret Service. That would be great. That's a great idea. Presidents. Yep. Oh, my God. That would be so good. Oh, my God. Let's do that. If you listen,
I saw John's eyes get all big on the video chat, and I was like, I know exactly where he's going.
Yep. Oh, Dwayne and Kevin.
Yep.
Dwayne and Kevin, absolutely. I mean, I would love to see Joe Pesci play a president. But I'd also like to see Radio or Gilbert Grape's mother play the president as well.
You mean Radio? You mean the character Radio?
Yes.
So not Cuba Gooding Jr., but the character Radio.
Yeah.
Okay.
The character Radio, Cuba Gooding Jr. How awesome would that be? He carries around his football. I love it. I love it. But yeah, that's our President's Day segment. Any closing thoughts for this one? For this podcast?
Oh, man. Have you guys watched the OA yet on Netflix?
Yes, I watched every single episode.
That show is bloody brilliant.
That show is so good. If you haven't seen the OA, look it up on Netflix. It's amazing. It's sci-fi, thriller, drama, and it just Britt Marling and Zal Batmanjlig are, if you've never seen the movies Sound of My Voice or The East, look those up. They did those movies, and if you like those movies, you're going to love the OA.
Yeah, and if you like Stranger Things, this is a more mature version of that. Something, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, a little bit less far out, but just every bit as good as Stranger Things, maybe even technically a little bit better.
And it was picked up for a second season. Thank you, Netflix.
Yeah, thank goodness, because that was – I'm only about halfway through it, but I am seriously loving it so far.
Me too.
And I have been absolutely addicted to Chef's Table.
I haven't on seen Netflix. That yet.
Oh my god, it's so good. So when I first started looking at the show, I was like, eh, you know, it's a show about cooking. I'm not hugely into cooking myself, so I didn't really give a shit. But then I watched it, and just the way it's produced, it gives you a fantastic window into the passion behind these people that run the three Michelin star restaurants, like the best restaurants in the world. And it's just a really fun, interesting show to watch. And that's it's good. Educational in a lot of ways.
One of the old only food shows I watch is Fuck That's Delicious with Action Bronson on Vice. It is a great show. There's been two seasons. If y'all haven't seen Fuck That's Delicious with Action Bronson, seriously watch it. It's amazing.
I did not know that was a thing.
It is a thing. It's so good.
Now, I've also been watching Black Mirror for the first time, and so, I've been really enjoying that.
So Black Mirror is on Netflix, and if you like Twilight Zone, it is a really fucked up version of Twilight Zone, where none of the story, you don't have to, you can watch any of them in any order, and they're all about technology and like
how they
might kill us. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a, every episode is its own story, and it's just, you know, I can only imagine it's the modern day Twilight Zone. That's the best way I think to describe it.
Yeah. Highly recommended.
It's very thought provoking, and you know, watching the first few seasons, you're like, oh, I recognize that actor, because apparently they've all these people that were the actors in Black Mirror became big British actors in a few years.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good show. Highly recommended. But yeah, we are back. We are back in full force. We're not going to take any more hiatuses.
Ever.
We're going to be back. We're going to be loud and proud. But thanks for listening this week. Mediocrity, find us on iTunes. Where can our audience find you guys on Twitter and Facebook?
I am on Facebook and Instagram at New American Fitness newamericanfitness.net.
Awesome. And Jeremy?
I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Jeremy Megert Art.
Fantastic. We are Mediocrity. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Tell us how much you love us. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.